and sing along. Yeah. Rapping so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening. This is Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Yes, we are from the Boogie Down. It's Thursday night, 7:46 p.m. And today's topic is titled Amending America. And
sounds interesting.
Okay. And I can tell you where, as we were talking about it, where some of the genesis came for this idea. Was watching the documentary on Netflix, Amend America, Will Smith produced. I think it just came out last week or whenever, very recently. And it's really, really good. Like, I mean, I was just looking for some filler watch, to be honest with you, and it was really good.
I got to check it out. Haven't got to see it yet.
Definitely. It's 6 parts, so it's a bit of a time commitment. I mean, it's not like a 45-minute in-and-out type of thing, which is what I normally look for right now. I'm looking for things I don't commit to. I can get some insight and bounce away. But once I started, I got to be honest with you, I was pulled in. So it's about 50 minutes, 60 minutes each. So figure 6 hours, I guess.
Okay. So for me, that'll be a couple of days.
right. Even though you are binging now. So for our listeners, Big Rupe is now a Netflix binger.
I've binged before, just not all the time. I binge Narcos.
There you go. That's a great one to binge. So basically, again, the documentary is titled Amend America. We titled this episode Amending America as to make it more of a ongoing thing, right? But basically, it's based on the 14th Amendment, which is basically the Equal Protection Clause, right? So, I mean, it's a lot more detailed than that. And for anyone who wants the details, I would say either look it up or obviously watch the documentary, which literally that's what it's about. So by the time you go through the 6 episodes, you will be familiar with it. And basically, equal protection. And I guess the reason for that was that, to paraphrase everything real quick, we know that all men were created equal did not apply to anyone other than white males. And we can say literally white males, because even white women weren't counted as citizens or representative of society. And so as much as we use the Declaration of Independence as a founding document, it clearly wasn't for most Americans having citizenship. And then when we talk about the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery and the Civil War and all that, that still didn't guarantee American citizenship. It was the 14th Amendment that defined citizenship as far as being born in the country and basically not having the rights that you're afforded to in this country taken away by the state. So basically, that's what defines citizenry in America, the 14th Amendment.
Right. I'm sure a lot of people may or may not be aware of, you know, those facts.
Exactly. And again, I'm loosely aware of it. We both took, again, political science in undergrad. But, I mean, that was the whole point of the documentary, and that's where Will Smith started. Said I barely knew it or didn't know it. And yet it's the foundation of what we think of as being Americans. So that's why I guess the idea came to him and then he just ran with it. But basically, amending America can be looked at, if you look at the word amend, as changing America, improving America, adding to America. I think of amendments usually as an addition, but the truth is you could look at it as a correction. So when you think of the term amending America, what do you think of it?
Something that's constantly evolving and changing, and you have to make adjustments as society changes. So basically, for me, that would be changing the laws to reflect the people that's, you know, within the country now, and trying to make it fair for everyone.
Ooh, well said. That nails it. No, really. And the reason why I say that nails it, I definitely think there's a notion of our society, of being American, right, that a lot of times when people look for amendments, they look for it for a specific issue that usually pertains to them, right? A lot of times as a group, an oppressed group or whatever interest group, you're looking at things that favor you or involve you. And what you said is about fairness for everyone, right, and keeping that fairness on not me, not the group I'm a part of, but just anyone who has the same existence as me, which is being alive. Right. So I think that was a really good way of saying
Thank you. You know, I mean, we see that in the workplace with, you know, the equal opportunity, or, you know, you can't discriminate when you're hiring people, or even in affirmative action, because, you know, a lot of people didn't understand it in the old days. They're still, oh, we're giving all our jobs to these people, but these people didn't have a fair chance of getting the job no other way.
Exactly. And to your point, it was a remedy to the unfairness on them, right? So it's not like we're cheating for them. We're saying we cheated them, so we're trying to amend, correct, change the cheating or the result of the cheating. So like you said, a lot of people omit that, as if the system was always fair and now these people are getting a leg up. They're saying, no, we have evidence that these people have been held back. So this is an attempt to partially improve their circumstances.
Yeah, and people will say, oh, it's 2021. We're past all these things. And I think the things we've seen in the news over the last couple of years have proven we're not really past it. We do need to have amendments for a lot. Not say amendments, but need to be always constantly evolving and changing to make the country better, because not everything is fair. You know, I don't think a family should have the house value cut in half because of who's the occupant. You know, if you thought it was these people, oh, it's worth $500,000. But since it's you, it's only $200,000. That's crazy.
Exactly. No, exactly. That's why your definition, which is what it literally says in the 14th Amendment, was just that. Fairness for everybody. Equal protection, right? That's what you say. Everyone should be treated a certain way, and that's fairly, right? The race should be fair. So I think, without going back to the founding of America, because I think a lot of time we talk about the ideals and we talk about the fairness and the grandness of the American idea, I think in a way you can jump right to the 14th Amendment, which again is what the documentary was really doing, even though it did give a backstory, but it's saying we know that all men weren't created equal in the sense that it wasn't being reflected in the government. So we have almost 100 years of the foundational document ignoring that. So instead of debating why it ignored it or whatever, let's just jump to the process of changing it, which is what amending America is. It's just saying, okay, we know that there are things that are wrong, right? And sadly, to your point earlier, we see things that are wrong right now, and we see people not acknowledging it. So we understand, like that's the same thing we've been dealing with. There were people that didn't have a problem with slavery. That's why there was slavery.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think when I, you know, just to put perspective on it, right? Because I think, again, it was based on the need to protect African Americans after the Civil War, during Reconstruction, that whole period, and the radical Republicans, and just that whole period of history, which hopefully will get a lot more attention. And I think we're moving in that direction as a society. I think the funny thing about living right now is people have always said that America's never really had that reconciliation that it needed to have. And it seems that we are having that process now. And it seems that it is organic, where companies are saying, listen, we get it. Yeah, we want to make a lot of money, but we see people being mistreated. TV shows and the culture scene, which has long been inclusive, is saying, we're not really inclusive. We get it, right? We're kind of inclusive, but not really. So it seems that there's an organic change.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully more and more of these companies and people, you know, see what needs to be changed and try to make those changes. I think we're on the right, you know, going in the right direction right now, but, you know, there's a lot that needs to be done.
True, true. And I agree with you. And I think as we continue this episode, what more needs to be done? And I'll give you an example to that. I think we did talk about this offline briefly. There is a friend that we both have in common. If you listen to the episode, he'll recognize the story about him. He's very proud of himself, his accomplishments, but more importantly, he's proud of his people. Right, he knows that people have come from a long way, and he tends to project that pride, not hide it, not even mention it. He tends to celebrate it, express it. So he was thinking about expressing it by wearing a sweatshirt to work that had many civil rights figures and heroes that America has identified as heroes of certain parts of America to work. And the question came up, should I wear this to work, or is this considered controversial? And the reason I bring that up to the point you just made is, should you wear something that's authentically a part of you to try to almost force the change or to be a part of the change? Or should you kind of wait till the change happens until it's okay? Or if you're in a place where it's already okay. So in other words, I'm not trying to amend it. I'm waiting for the amendment to happen so I can live it.
That's a very, very deep question. It can have several answers. I mean, the first thing to take into account is, is this going to be like a rapid departure from your normal persona of what people perceive you to be? So if you're always been somebody that's repping Black history and talking about our fallen leaders, and you always portray that, then it might not be that much of a stretch and it wouldn't be seen as something. For other people, if you've always been reserved, quiet, unassuming, all of a sudden now it's like you're wearing a Black Power sweatshirt. It's like, okay, where'd this come from? So I think that's part of it. I mean, it shouldn't be the only thing. But I mean, and also depends on your job. Like, what are you actually doing? You know, if you have your own company, you run your own business, you can do whatever you want. But if you work in a public setting, you have to take into account who's going to encounter you and what impressions you might be leaving.
I only laughed before what you said was really funny, but I just absorbed everything you said because it was so insightful. Like, it really was. And I mean, that to me is the answer. I mean, to take everything you said and what I got from your statement was consistency, right? If you're being consistent, if the world sees you a certain way and tomorrow you've been the way you've always been, right? So every time you show up to work, you're saying and doing certain things and wearing certain things, people are like, hey, yeah, that's that guy or that girl, right? As like you said, you never do it. And then all of a sudden, bam, you do it. And it is a culture shock just because people don't expect it. Not that it's right or wrong. They are shocked by you doing it or what it is. So I think that's really I think that's almost the civil rights movement on both sides, right? The wait, gradual change, and the let's make change now. So sorry, I just want to get that in because I think those two things go with what you just said.
I mean, the only one point I was going to add to it is it's kind of like, all right, if Muhammad Ali was seen wearing a dashiki, whatever, it'll be seen, oh, you know, he's always been representing Black strength and Black power. Whereas if you had someone like, say, Joe Louis, who's usually non-confrontational and very reserved, he starts wearing those type of things. What's going on with Joe Louis? Is he radicalized? Who got to him? He's never been doing this before. So he might be perceived differently as opposed to someone that has always worn their pride on their sleeve.
Again, well said. Well said. Great follow-up point to that. And I would say to both your points just now is that Muhammad Ali still got vilified for being consistent because in some sense he wasn't consistent. And when I say he wasn't consistent, meaning by the audience that liked him, they viewed him as shifting from who he was, right? He was Cassius Clay. He was part of the American quote-unquote dream. And then he became something else we called out the American dream. Now, to your point, he was actually being consistent with the things he said to express himself. But again, as we mentioned in other episodes, people sometimes tend to take and change your narrative, where you're saying something all the time and they still say you said something different than what you said.
Yeah. I mean, not to harp on boxers, but you saw that the whole time also with Joe Frazier, in the sense that he was perceived to be an Uncle Tom when he was actually very pro-Black the whole time he was in boxing. But he was perceived as some guy that was, fighting for not his people, and he's associated with somehow being an Uncle Tom.
True. No, that's true. And
I'm just laughing because he said, I'm the furthest person that could be that, and that's what they want to label me as. Whereas some of the things that other people were doing, and they were still labeled as pro-Black. And he's like, this makes no sense. But again, like we did the episode before, the media can make give you a certain perception that sticks to you, even if it's not true.
Right, right. And as we get back to this episode of Amending America, because what you said is true. We have talked about this before, about the media, you know, the our last episode, basically, last few episodes, and also your audience, right? Because a lot of times people take in what they want as opposed to what is given sometimes. So you do want to be, to your point, consistent with your narrative, with this is what I'm saying. Don't let people misquote you or misrepresent you. But you also have to be aware that sometimes your audience is going to accept or reject it on their own. Which is why I like the point you made about being consistent, meaning I'm going to say what I'm going to say regardless if you don't like it, and whatever the consequences, that's okay with me because I'm being consistent. I don't mean consequences like getting shot or killed or something like that, but okay, if I don't get this particular job because I'm expressing how I feel, right, which I've always expressed, I'm okay with that because I am being consistent.
No, I agree 100%. It's true. Consistency is key. Again, if you're coaching in a one race dominant area, you may or may not want to do certain things because, you know, again, it may not be consistent with who you've been perceived as from before.
Tired of the same rap songs, every new hit should sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
So to your last point now, There's a difference between the perception of your consistency and you as an individual or group projecting inconsistency or consistency. So I think when we go back to Amending America, right, and there's different ways of amending America, changing, improving. Again, the last president had his own vision for amending America, right? And his idea was to amend America backwards, right? So we won't say improving, but it was still change, right? You know, make America great again, right? As if something changed, right? And I'm trying to change it back. And again, to a certain audience, that might have been well-received, or it was well-received, right? To another audience, that was a straight-up call to a bad time in this country. But here's the thing now, right? He was consistent with that message. So it wasn't that I spoke out of turn. It's not that the hat didn't mean what you thought it meant. Oh, no. I've showed over the course of my presidency and much before that, I'm being consistent. I don't care about some people. I'll say I care, right? The slave master said he loved his slaves sometimes, but my action shows you I didn't. So that MAGA hat, to your point, was consistent, right? It was a form of an amendment as well. It was just a negative amendment.
Yeah, definitely negative to us, maybe to the people that he was preaching to. It was a positive thing.
Well, I'm going to say negative because we understand right.
But negative, yeah, no, I understand. For the country, it's definitely a negative and a black mark on our history.
Right. And the reason why I emphasize that, to your point, is that we all can say we can't go back and change the way it was, right? We can't change the founding fathers. We can't even change what happened during Reconstruction, which is why we are where we are now. That was the point of the 14th Amendment. Right? Slavery was supposed to take care of that. I mean, abolishing slavery, right? The 13th Amendment was supposed to take care of it. But then there were still mistreatments that were going on. So then they had to put the 14th Amendment. Then much further after that, we know about the Jim Crow South, they had to have the civil rights legislation and some other activities. So the point was, they weren't being consistent, right? And so when we say good and bad amendments, right, it goes back to the definition you gave earlier, right? Equality for all people, everyone treated the same. Right? It sounds simple, but it's so not done that it's not simple. It's the biggest thing in this country from the beginning to right now. Not treating people fairly is what holds this country back.
No, that is well said and is very true.
No, thank you. I mean, we're trying to share with our listeners, you know, today's topic, which again is based on the documentary on Netflix, Amend America. So when we say consistency, let's say that whatever approach people or groups are taking are consistent. There were some people who had issues with initially Black Lives Matter, the terminology, right? That was initially a problem for some people, right? Which again goes back to MAGA and certain symbols and dog whistles and things like that. But then going to last summer, again, we talked about it last week, the summer of George Floyd, and that's not meant with disrespect. That's meant to acknowledge the huge impact that his death had on the world, right? The whole world, people around the world were crying. Like, yo, that's not how you treat people. There's no way you can do that and say you're a decent human being. You can't. You don't treat animals like that. That's just wrong. So what I'm saying is the summer of George Floyd was this moment where many people couldn't pretend anymore. They couldn't just look the other way and act like, yeah, things are okay. Nah, things are not okay.
No, not exactly. You know, that's an eye-opening moment for a lot of people.
Definitely. So, again, as far as consistency, the people that are out front and center saying, this is the way for change, right? Are they right that we can't wait anymore? Are they right that change comes when you do something differently, right? When you make change. Change is an action as opposed to an idea.
Well, you have to say they're right, because any change that has happened in this country has been something that was forced. Even if you look at Dr. King's movement, even though it wasn't violent, it was still a forced activity of how they got things to be pushed for legislatively. If they didn't push the envelope, things would have remained the same. So I think anything you do that you're going to get results, there has to be some type of force involved. Doesn't mean it has to be violent or, you know, disruptive. It has to be disruptive to the status quo to get things done. Again, it's the same thing like if you are lifting weights and you want to become stronger, you have to keep increasing the weight your body is using, increasing the reps, increasing the resistance for the body to grow new muscle to become stronger. If you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to get the same results.
Agreed. Agreed. So to put another heavy one out there to you, what is the next step of the amendment? Is it a legal step? Like, do we need to see a new law enacted, a new amendment, for example? Or is it more, like you said, social media and the awareness, right? The whole concept of being woke. Or, and I'm not done yet, or is it something more definitive? As in, we're not going to wait. We're not going to take it anymore. You know what? We've waited well over 100 years after slavery, and we've only had marginal changes. So now amending, changing has to be more drastic. Like you said, not violent, but more forceful in the sense that we can't keep waiting, because waiting is why it took so long to begin with, right?
Oh, I was just simply going to state that I don't know if it's just like amending the laws, because you can amend the laws, but if the laws have no teeth and there's no one enforcing the laws, nothing is going to change. Because even in Reconstruction and even some of the civil rights legislation, when it first went through, if no one was enforcing it and making it happen, no one was integrating the schools and keeping the people safe when they're going into schools, nothing would change. It was going to be still the status quo. So I think we need something more forceful than just say putting laws on the books. The laws have to have teeth and they have to be enforced.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Okay, again, to your point, well said. Totally agree with you. What? That's my point. That was my question. What amendment do we need to see? So you said, so you kind of move past laws saying, okay, we need to have laws that are going to be enforced. The changes we saw this last, I would say, year forward, right? Because BLM is not new, but the energy, again, the summer of George Floyd did power it. It really is an awareness thing. So we can say that right now we're kind of part of this awareness campaign, which is funny enough because the documentary on Netflix shows you that that was a lot of what Dr. King's strategy was. It was to make the world aware of what was going on in the South. And again, when you watch it, you'll hear something about Birmingham that I never heard. I mean, I'll just say it right now. I never heard of Birmingham referred to as Bombingham, right? It's referred to as Bombingham because there were so many dynamite explosions against blacks. And that shows you that domestic terrorism was real, because that's the whole point, right? We don't have to go to the Middle East or other parts of the world. Literally, it was called Bombingham. So that tells you what was going on. That tells you the kind of people that were involved.
Okay, no, I totally understand. To your point as to what needs to be done and like giving more teeth, I think that prosecution is number one. There has to be repercussions for anything that we seem to be being persecuted with. So if we have trouble with police interactions with African Americans, people calling the cops on African Americans, then there has to be some type of punishment for people that are doing these things for it to have any real effect. You can put all the laws in the place that you want, but if nothing ever happens or everybody's let go, then it's not going to really have any deterrence.
Okay. I'll take that with what you said before. So I'll take that right now we're in the middle of, I'll say, or still the early stages of an awareness campaign, right? And I think that's what's going on. I think there's this awareness of the injustice. We could say that, how could you not know? That's neither here nor there, right? We're saying that people are aware and some people are staking their claim, right? That's why this documentary was done. That's why NASCAR, I believe that's what I would say personally. That's why I believe NASCAR took the stance they took. Some people might say they wanted to grow their fan base. I personally believe that they were appalled at what happened with George Floyd, right? To the point where, again, no real moral human being should be able to watch that done to anybody else or any animal. Again, if you step on an animal to death, right, you got to start looking at that person and saying, okay, would you do that to your own family? Would you do that to yourself?
No, I agree. I mean, it's definitely unfortunate that happened to him, but you're right. If that was on TV and that was a dog and someone was doing that, the person might get shot in the street before he finished what he was doing, which is showing, you know, that it's really a sad state of affairs when people are doing these things, and a lot of people didn't have a problem. Well, I shouldn't say a lot of people didn't have a problem. The cops didn't have a problem with it. Obviously, even the most people who saw that, even people who say don't really embrace us as, you know, different than them, they were like, that's not right. Come on, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, you really can't watch that video and think that that was cool.
Exactly. No, you said it, and you said it with the energy that it did. Elicit. So, I mean, that's true. So, for our listeners, again, amending America, as we said, it's a process. It's always going. As you said before, it's an ongoing process, so it's not started. I mean, it happened when some slaves ran away, right? That was their form of amending America, right? We're going to challenge slavery by simply escaping. It happened when eventually there was enough support to fight where members of the government seceded. We have to call that for what it is, right? Because they have tried to reframe it. They basically said, screw you, America, right? They said, screw you, America. So they don't have American pride in that sense, right? And they try to revisit the narrative as if somehow they were pure and righteous and the federal government was evil, right? Because, again, changing the narrative. Like Colin Kaepernick's knee was horrible, right? Horrible because he was actually asking people to be treated the same, to your point earlier. But it was horrible, right? That was the narrative that they put forward. He hates America. No, he hates people being killed in America for no reason. There's a difference.
Yeah. Oh, what I really like to always use was he's disrespecting the flag. He never did anything against the flag, but that's what they want to label it as, disrespecting the flag.
Exactly. So, I guess, you know, again, I would definitely say to our listeners, whoever hears this, definitely watch the Netflix documentary again. You're going to get more details than we've covered. It's just really wanted to introduce you guys to it. It's really powerful. You may be aware of it. And again, when I say you, listeners may be aware of it, but I think it's done in a way that it'll give you something new, or it's just informative, right? So it's not that you have to watch it, but it is a positive. Moving to call to actions. Does anything jump to mind? Because like you said, it's an ongoing process, changes, laws need to have teeth. So what do you think would be a call to action for our listeners?
Something similar to what I think I've said before. You know, certain issues come up, you have to speak to or contact your local representation, let them know your feelings on certain issues, be it an email, be it if it's a phone call, or just to know that, you know, these issues are affecting our community, and, you know, us as citizens are trying to do our part and make our voices heard.
Well said. I like that. And I think for this episode of Amending America, I'm going to follow that with my own call to action that springboards from that, because I think the problem is a lot of people say that's what they're doing, but they're not. They're not going to call their local representatives. They're not even paying attention to who they are. So to springboard what you just said, because that is part of the change process, right? Change is something that we do. It's not something that happens unless somebody else does it. You don't want people controlling your life. So to your point, since you don't want people controlling your life, we have to be the changes we want to see are part of that process. And I think for me, I'm going to say this is my call to action. Watch more, do more, right? And when I say watch more what goes on in your own life, meaning watch less. I know this is hard for people to hear. Watch a little bit less sports. Watch a little bit less ratchet TV. And watch a little bit more about local politics and who the local politicians are, right? Just to know. And do more, which is your point. Okay, now that I know who they are, why are the cops doing this? How did this happen 2 days after I saw a story on the news, right? Because if we just watch and shrug it off, then it keeps happening. But if to your point, people watch it and they contact the police precinct, or they just bring attention, awareness, because awareness seems to be very powerful always. So to your point, if people are aware of something and they bring greater awareness, that can be part of the change.
Well said.
Oh, no, well said. They segment each other, because what you said is true, right? The problem is most of us watch certain things, do certain things that have nothing to do with our everyday lives, right? It's just an escape from our lives. It's fun. We enjoy it. And like you said, because there's only so many hours in the day, we wind up not doing the things that we need to do. So we literally have to give up something or some of it to do something else. And that's why I said, if we're going to pay more attention to our politicians, we have to take time to know who they are and make time to reach out to them. Say, hey, what's going on with this one issue? Just pick one issue and just say, what are you doing about this? And get other people to do the same.
Yeah, that's the way to get to affect, you know, change from a small level. And from small levels, you can affect big, great change.
Exactly. You can sit down on a bus and help your race stand up. So, I mean, not to be overly poetic, but I mean, that is a good example of one person sitting down. And obviously, she, Rosa Parks wasn't the first to do it, but she's the one that got the attention, the awareness. I think that's what we're trying to say. Get the awareness on what's going on and let's work to change it together.
I agree 100%.
All right. So this episode was Amending America. I'm Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.